Let's turn to Luke 16:19. Luke 16:19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Let's pray. Lord, please forgive us where we failed you. Help me preach this message not only in the practice run here, but in the real deal Sunday. Thank you for the ability to put this out. Thank you for those that listen. Thank you for my wife who reminded me, hey, this is a good idea to give it a practice run first, then listen to it. In Jesus' name, amen. Fear is something that everybody has to deal with in some form or fashion. And in October, many forms of media like to focus on fear and things that are scary. Now, I like to watch a creepy tale from time to time, but I do have my limits on how dark I'll watch. There's just some things out there that sometimes I think really should not be made. People have some dark and creepy imagination. But it is interesting to take a sidestep and think about things that scare us. Now, I looked at a site called verywellmind.com and found just some of the A's in the phobias or fears, severe fears that people have. Acouphobia, fear of darkness. Acrophobia, fear of heights. Are you afraid of flying? I know a lot of people are. Aerophobia is what you call that. Some people are afraid of open spaces. Some people are afraid of crowds. Agoraphobia. Here's one that I'm very close to having. The fear of needles or pointed objects. Eichmophobia. But, you know, there are people that are afraid of flowers. That's called anthrophobia. If you're afraid of peanut butter, that's arachnophobia. And, of course, there's arachnophobia, which is the fear of spiders. There's atychophobia, the fear of failure. A lot of people have that, right? And then there's autophobia, fear of being alone. These are just a few of the fears that men have. However, what is the scariest thing? Well, let's look back at verse 19 in our passage at Luke 16, okay? It says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. And please excuse the allergy. I can't do much about it. Sorry. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. That's what Lazarus was wanting. He wants to eat just crumbs, because that's all he had to hope for. And it says also, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. I mean, this guy was in bad shape. You have this beggar who the only thing he could hope to eat was crumbs. Is poverty the scariest thing? From thebalance.com, the stock market crash of 1929 was the collapse of stock prices that began on October 24th, 1929. By October 29th, 1929, the Dow Jones Industrial Average had dropped 24.8%, marking one of the worst declines in U.S. history. It destroyed confidence in Wall Street markets and led to the Great Depression The Great Depression was also, of course, in 1929. It devastated the U.S. economy. A third of all banks failed. Unemployment rose to 25%, and homelessness increased. Housing prices plummeted 67%. International trade collapsed by 65%, and deflation soared above 10%. Maybe there's somebody alive in this room today. That's what I will say in church. Here, I guess I could say, I guess maybe there's somebody alive listening today that has lived through the Great Depression. It was, I'm sure, a scary time, not having the necessities of life, not knowing where your next meal is going to come from. That is a scary thing. Going hungry, even the thought of going hungry is scary. Not having a home, ooh, that's a prospect that sounds chilling. And there's a lot of people, unfortunately, that have to deal with that. Scary thoughts, they are scary thoughts. But poverty is not the scariest thing. In Luke 16, it mentions that Lazarus had leprosy. Or at least that's what it seems like. It says he was full of sores. It doesn't use the word leprosy in the King James Version, and I don't know about what it says in any of the other versions, translations. But the full of sores made me think of leprosy, okay? But he was in bad shape. The dogs were licking his sores. That's just creepy. The man was hurting. He was in a bad way to the point that he was near death. Now, whether it was his poverty or his sickness or both that made him such, I'm not 100% sure. Maybe a mixture of both. But he was in bad shape. And I'm telling you, illness is scary. The Black Death, was in Europe in 1347, 20 million lives lost in 4 years. Now, from around 2019 on, we have seen the effects of pandemic ourselves with a spreading virus that causes severe illness and even death. 2019 and 2020 was a scary time period in which to live. And some people are still experiencing fear even to this point, even today. Okay? Illness is scary. Okay? Illness is scary. Being covered in sores is scary. I mean, can you imagine being covered in sores and wondering, this is not going to heal. It's never going to heal. I'm going to live with this for however long I'm alive. That's a scary thought. If it was leprosy, leprosy would be a terrifying thing to see, even worse to experience. But there's worse than illness. There is worse than illness. Verse 22 says, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. You notice that the poor man, Lazarus's poverty and illness found their solution when Lazarus went with the angels. His illness and his poverty, when he went to heaven, or with the angels to the equivalent of what would be the heaven type situation. I won't go into all that, but the poverty's gone. You're rich. You've got everything you'll ever need. And you're still alive. Oh yeah, you died. But you trusted God. You are alive. We would say in the New Testament time, you trusted Christ. You're alive forevermore. There will be no illness in heaven. illness was solved when Lazarus went to paradise. Many illnesses are terrifying, but there is something more terrifying. It is not illness. But you see, the verse I just mentioned, it also mentions death, doesn't it? And it's, I find something interesting about death. Many a horror and suspense film focus on death. Death can be scary, to be sure. And I want you to notice something in verse 22. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Folks, death is inevitable. I probably already said that, but we need to understand this. It didn't matter how rich or poor they were. It didn't matter how healthy or well they were. Eventually, death got both of them, and eventually, unless Jesus Christ comes in the rapture and we're caught up in the air, and trust me, I'm hoping for that more every day. The older I get, I'm like, come on, rapture. I don't want to die. I understand. Okay? But unless that happens, death is inevitable. Rich, poor, sick, well, we are all going to eventually succumb to death. We have an appointment with death one day. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Everybody's going to die, and everybody's going to be judged. Now, I can have confidence because I've trusted Christ that I'm going to heaven when I die. Lazarus, again, I say, was fine after death. He knew God. For the one who trusts Christ, death is just a door into heaven. For me, how I die is scarier than dying itself. And I'm not saying that death isn't scary. I'm just saying it's not the scariest thing. What about murderers or monsters? To list all the creepy villains of legend would take all day or longer. The same could be said of the horrific undertakings of Hollywood. Sadly, reality, too, has its terrible people sharing any of these here would potentially cause undue fear to younger ears. I don't know who's listening. When I preach this in church, I won't know who's there. Most likely there will be some children there. I don't want to scare them. But there's a lot of scary people out there, aren't there? We know there are. Adults see them in the news all the time. Some of us who have seen some scary movies, even the fiction might have given us nightmares when we saw it. But in Matthew 10:28, Jesus says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Don't fear the monsters. Don't fear the murderers. Now, don't stand in their path either, okay? But don't be afraid of them. That's not the scariest thing. The scariest thing is dying unprepared. Because after the rich man died, verse 23 says of chapter 16 of Luke, says, in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Hell is the destination for the unprepared. And somebody here may be going, oh, here we go. He's trying to scare people into heaven. Folks, if I could scare people into heaven, I'd do it every day. Every day. But I can't.
I can't. That doesn't mean I don't preach the truth about hell. Jesus talked about hell. Hell is a consequence. And sometimes the fear of that consequence does give people reason to repent and turn to Jesus Christ. Sometimes that happens. It's kind of like when a doctor tells you that if you don't change your diet, you're going to die. If a doctor tells you that, you start thinking. You might even change the way you eat. Change what you do. You might change some things. But the change is not discounted because you were scared into it. If for fear someone truly asks for forgiveness of their sins and turns to Jesus Christ, trusting Him for salvation, if it's out of fear, but it was genuine, that doesn't discount it. The fear doesn't discount it. The rich man in verse 24 cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." We see hell is filled with torture. We see it's filled with burning. There is fire. I don't think this is a figurative thing. I don't know what kind of flame is there, but I know it's there because the Bible says it's there. I don't believe the rich man and Lazarus is the kind of parable. I really don't think it was a parable at all, but it's definitely not the kind that is going to paint hell with a picture that's not real. I think it's an actual event that happens. I mean, we have an actual name mentioned for one thing. In any parable that I've read, Jesus doesn't mention any names. He just says, hey, there was this rich man, or there was this, or there was that. I think it was a real event. And I strongly believe hell is real. And you will want water. But Abraham said, verse 25, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." In hell, their memories will be intact. He says, "You remember how Lazarus got the bad end of it, and you were all doing all well-to-do, but all you could do was maybe give him some crumbs. You remember that?" He says, "Well, it looks like the tides are turned now. You're suffering. He's not." In hell, you remember your evil. You remember your chances to accept Christ. You also remember that being there is your own fault. Because you remember your past and all that goes with it. Verse 26 says, "Besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. In hell there is no escape." And it's too late to change your decision. It's too late to change your mind. You cannot. It's too late. Verse 27, realizing that he could not escape, realizing that Lazarus couldn't come help him, he had another request. Verse 27, "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. You know, I kind of think two things at this point. One, he's too late to pray. And another, he's praying to the wrong person. But Abraham does answer him. He says this, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Rich man answers back, says, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Moses answered and said, Abraham answers in verse 31. It says, and he said, he being Abraham, unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. In hell, you will remember others who will be heading there after you, and you won't want them there. Every once in a while, you may have heard somebody go, hey, I ain't worried about heaven. I'm going to join all my friends in hell. Folks, if your friends are in hell, they don't want you there. You realize who's heading there. You won't want them there, but you also know you can't do anything at that point. It will be too late. While the fire eats at you constantly, the concern for your family will gnaw at you as well. You know, something I never really thought about. If you go to hell, who are you going to take with you? Now realize you pay for your own sins. I'm not saying that you're going to force someone else to go to hell. But who are you influencing that's coming with you? Rich man knew he had brothers that needed to get away from this place. Do you know someone that you don't want to go to hell? Have you accepted Christ yet? Some say not yet, but I plan to. You are not guaranteed 30 seconds from now. I could drop dead preaching right now. Now, I don't know that I don't think I will because I think I'm supposed to preach this, right? But I could. I could. We have no promise for tomorrow. But I'm prepared, are you? I'm prepared, are you? What of your family? Who are you affecting? If you don't know Christ, who are you keeping from accepting Christ? Who are you going to be partially responsible for sending to hell? Many people have tried to draw a picture of hell, whether in books, television, movies, or even just conversation. However, no one, aside from Christ himself, has gotten the picture completely right. And even then, there's no picture painted of hell that will ever truly match the horrific experience of someone being there. Abraham says, no, I'm not going to send anybody because if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe the one rose from the dead. Today, I can tell you with 100% certainty that is true. Because, folks, one did rise from the dead, and many still didn't believe. You see, God knew that our sin separated us from Him. He wanted to make a way so that we could be with Him, but He cannot look at sin. So what God did was He came down here, pressed Himself in human form, God the Son, I can't explain it perfectly, but I know that he was born of a virgin, born without sin, lived a perfect life, and then died a very cruel death so that our penalty would be paid. And then he rose from the dead. So that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, believing on Jesus, trusting in him for salvation, shall be saved. Don't gamble with your soul. Dying without Christ is indeed the scariest and most dangerous thing. If you have Christ, what are you afraid of? Remember, any other problems will be sorted out one way or another in this life or in the one to come. Let God handle the things you can't control. If your soul is already taken care of, what of your neighbors? What of your families? If your soul is not already taken care of, what of your neighbors? What of your families? Is your indecision keeping someone else from making a decision? The Philippian jailer asked what must I do to be saved, and the answer the apostles gave: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But then they added, and thy house. Now, they weren't saying that his belief would save the house, but what happened was when he believed, his family believed. When he came home and told his family what happened, they believed. They trusted Jesus Christ, and they were saved. What an amazing thing that could happen. So I guess I could say you're on the brink of a decision here if you don't know Christ. You can either die and go to hell, possibly dragging somebody with you, or you could accept Jesus Christ, trusting the payment he made, getting forgiveness for your sin, and maybe influencing someone else to do the same. The choice is yours. Thank you.